Father God, I thank you so much for, I thank you for the people at Harmony, Lord. This church, they're family. This is a family, God, and we thank you so much for the lives that you've placed here. And Jesus, I pray that this morning, Lord, that your presence would just invade the worship. We ask that you would just come. We need you to come, Lord. We're desperate for you. So, Father, I pray that you would come and just and fill this place with your presence. Jesus, that you would walk amongst us and that we would sense you, that we would feel your presence, Lord, that you'd just come to life in our spirit, Lord. And God, I pray that I know that there are people here this morning and that there's just things that are rushing through their minds, whether it be just holidays coming up and plans and maybe financial worries or concerns. Just so many things that just are rushing through our minds, and life can be really busy. And sometimes when we come into church, we're so distracted that worship can just come and go and we haven't even thought about Jesus. So, Father, I pray that amidst the distractions, amidst the busyness of life, that you would help us to just quiet ourselves and turn our eyes to you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you.
Help us this morning to turn our eyes to you.
Yes, Lord.
And, Father, for those that are in maybe physical pain this morning, I pray that despite the pain, that their eyes would turn to you.
Jesus' name.
And Father, there are those here who are maybe discouraged because of family. I don't know. I actually feel like God is saying to somebody here that there's somebody here that's discouraged because of some family problem, some family issue. And I believe that God is saying to this person specifically that, will you look to me? Will you look to me? So, Father, as a community, as a family, I pray that as we enter into a time of worship, into singing songs to you, lifting our voices to you, that our eyes would be fixed on Jesus, on you. Because there's something powerful that happens when our eyes are fixed on you. Mm. That the storms, they don't seem so big.
True.
That the wind, it doesn't sound so scary.
Mm.
But, Father, there's trust and there's faith that rises in our hearts. Faith for miracles. Faith for family to be saved.
Yes,
faith,
Lord,
for financial situations to turn,
yes,
around. So, Father, I pray that our eyes would be fixed on you and that we would sing and just surrender ourselves in worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise. Because there is freedom and there is breakthrough and there is power when our eyes are fixed on you. I pray these things in your mighty name.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Glory. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I will worship you, oh my
mighty
God.
There is none
like you.
Amen.
I worship you, oh Christ. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness.
Jesus is our righteousness. together. Let's sing, "We Worship You, Almighty God." Amen.
We worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. We worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is what
we just need to acknowledge there is none like Him. And that's another old chorus. I don't have it up here, but we know it.
There is none like You.
Speak to me.
from death to life to you alone. Awake my soul, awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones from death to life for you alone.
Sing it. It's, I pray that there's a prophetic awakening that takes place. Oh, glory. I pray there's a prophetic awakening in your spirit that when we confess the words together as a community, that there is a spiritual awakening taking place in the body of Christ, that there is a focus on Him, that there's an openness to Him and what He wants to say to the congregation today. Amen.
Amen.
May it be prophetic to you and me. May it be prophetic to our nation. May it be prophetic to the church throughout this land. Oh, glory. Awake, awake, awake my soul. Come resurrect these bones. Can it be done? Can these dry bones live? Yes, they can. Oh, sing it again.
Awake, 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 awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones. From death to life, to you alone. Awake my soul. Awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones. From death to life, to you alone. Awake my soul. Breathe on me. Breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breath of God, breathe on me.
Breathe on.
Breathe on me. Breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breath of God, breathe. Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me. Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me.
I come alive.
I come alive, I'm alive when you speak to me. I come alive, I'm alive when you speak to me.
Awake,
awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones from death to life to you alone. Awake my soul,
awake,
awake. Awake my soul, God, resurrect these bones from death to life for you alone. Awake my soul.
Breathe on me. We're going to sing it very gently there. A cappella.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me.
Sing it again.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me.
Our sister prayed into the sermon, prayed a number of the points of the message, so I know the Lord is speaking. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. Truly, the scriptural church is where there is the word of prophecy. And it doesn't come always in the way that you think it. We've already had prophetic word of knowledge this morning as Pastor Dan prayed. We've had a prophetic lining up of the songs. We've had prophetic in the prayer. And as we get into the word, the prophetic will be revealed again in the word of the Lord. And so I think you're waking up. You know, I think that's what's, I think what's happening is we're waking up to the Spirit of God, who is always wanting to speak, who is always desiring that His children be listening, who is always desiring our response to His speaking. And so as we get into the Word in a few minutes, we just want to allow the Spirit of God to continue. But let's all turn to the Lord in prayer at this time, and collectively let's pray as one, a body this morning. All right, let's pray as one. Let's join in prayer. Just pray, seek the Lord, seek to hear from Him. There's a light switch that's been turned on, and so listen to what is He saying to you. What is He saying to the church? Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying as you pray. There is something important about taking collective times of listening. Father, we ask, Lord, that You would continue to guide and direct us. Lord, this is not an exercise in brief, but Lord, this is a lifestyle that we espouse. So, Father, we ask, Lord, today that the things, the secrets that You have made manifest in our heart this morning in this time of worship and in this season of prayer, Lord, You would continue, Father God, to reveal Yourself to us and help us to share what You're saying to the whole body. Lord, let us be clean lightning rods of Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to give the. We're learning. We're in school all the time, children. You know, a church that is entertainment. Everything gets played up on stage. You understand me, people? Understand me in the back room? You know, the church that is. It's entertainment. It's all up here. But the church that is alive, the Lord, the strings are everywhere. I just have that picture that the Lord's plucking the strings. He makes a song out of the whole body. It's not what happens on the platform. That's an entertainment church. I don't want to be critical of any particular churches or whatever else, because it's an easy thing to fall into, and we can fall into it just as easy. All right? But the Lord wants to... The spiritual church, the alive church, is the Lord is playing. The Lord is making sound out of the whole thing. Yes, there is music happening up here. Yes, there is songs being played, but it's also the Lord. You see that? You get that picture of the Lord? He's just making music. Amen. We have Romans chapter 13. I'm so excited about the Word of God this last few weeks. Pastor Dan preached from the book of James. I was so blessed because I was reading ahead in James. No, I mean, I've read James. James is one of my favorite epistles. And so, you know, but as I was reading it, as a brother was preaching on it, you know, I just said, I just remembered at a conference that I remember running into a guy that does drama, dramatization, and Brother Kitts. Pastor Kitts, and anyways, he does the book of James. He preaches the book of James. He gets in costume, he gets up, and he preaches the book of James. And I called him up this week, and I said, can you come? Now, we can't come till March, but I believe that that'll be a time when he'll come. He's going to come and preach the book of James. just preach that book of James. It takes 22 minutes to preach the book of James. So, of course, I'll preach for 20 minutes because I wouldn't want you to... anyways, Romans chapter 12. 13, are you there now? Verse 11. And do this. Now that's... Do what? You know, you always pick up in the middle of some text and, you know, it talks about loving one another. So, you know, I want to go back a little bit. And now... Do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Is the Lord building something or what? For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in envy and strife, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Amen. Now that was the last. I'm working backwards through chapter 13, it seems. 2 weeks ago was put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now it's put on the armor of light. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for what you're doing amongst us. Light is growing in the hearts of your people. That can be a little scary because the light reveals darkness. And that can get very uncomfortable. But Father, Lord, help us to allow you to keep searching, that we may deal with the things that you reveal, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said? I like to hear agreement in the house of God. I'm weird. And I have this thing that you often get, those that are part, regular part of Harmony, I get these what I call situational prophetic moments. That something that and it happens, it's not superstition, it happens when I'm reading the Word, studying the Word, praying, or something that I'm doing, and something then happens in the physical or in the natural. I believe that's a prophetic word. And so I was here studying. Sister Nancy had to go to work. She had to go to work this morning. She danced around a little bit and had to get off to the senior's home. But she's my confirmation, or one of the ones that, because I was Facebooking her while this happened, and I started going, you know. Anyways, and she started shouting on Facebook, you know, type of thing. But anyways, I was here in the office. I was studying this particular scripture, and I was going over it again about a wake up. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. And into the church walks a man, all dressed in his outfit, his work outfit, his luminous stuff. And anyways, he said, "I'm here to fix the church parking light." And, you know, and I'm here, and I'm just been praying about it. And look, oh, Lord, what are you trying to say to the church? You know, and he comes in and he says, "I'm here to fix the light." You know, and I'm going, glory, hallelujah. And he says, "Where's the problem?" And I pointed. I said, "You know, that first pole out there, we haven't had light in it for over a year. You know, we're swift, you know, our board of trustees and our elders and everything. We get right on things, you know. So we've been walking in darkness for over a year, I think, now. And in the sense of the parking lot light. But finally, we phoned enough times to this one particular organization, which I won't quote. But finally, they agreed. And they came, and he came at the right time. I was working on this. And so I thought, ooh, that's prophetic. I got so blessed after he left the office and went out there. And the thought was, glory, light is coming to the church. Light is coming to the parking lot. That we're not going to be walking to church in darkness, but rather we're going to have light. The light is increasing. And then he came in, a few minutes he came in and he says, the problem's not outside. I says, what? He says, the problem's in the church. Oh, glory. And I'm going, oh, glory. And you try not to dance and shout and speak in tongues with the neighbors. But it is a witness to the unbelievers, so, you know. Amen. So anyways, I said, the problem's in the church. He says, yeah, there's no power. He says, the problem's not outside. He says, I checked all these things, but the problem must be in the church. And so anyways, so I go downstairs. Now, I had left the switch on. I don't blame Carol or anyone of the youth on Wednesday night. But anyways, I had left the switch on. I thought when I left that the parking lot light was on. And anyways, I went down. Sure enough, the light was off. Raymond probably came in the night, saw it. You know, woke him up, and he thought, that's wasting money. And so he came over and he turned it off. I don't know what happened. But anyways, it was switched off. And so I went down there, and the simple thing was, switch the thing on. Okay, and then, good. Then he comes in a third time, and I'm just waiting. He says, well, he says, one of the problems is, he says, the sensor is gone. It can't discern between light and darkness. Oh, glory! You know, so... So anyways, glory to God! So then he goes down, though. He puts a new sensor in the thing, and we got the power on, the problem in the church solved, and we got the discernment back in the system again, and I'm just going, glory to God, hallelujah. You know, God's speaking through the Word of God. So anyways, this is how weird I am. I can hear messages from guys with cherry pickers coming up to fix the church. Oh, glory. Is the Lord speaking to His church? Yes, He is. He's saying, you know, we talk about the darkness that's out there, and he says the problem is in here. Ooh. We worry and we fret about the darkness that's in this world. We preach about the darkness that's in this world. We warn our kids about the darkness that's in this world, and the problem is in the church. And then once we get the power turned on, then it's discernment. That is the next thing about discerning the light and the darkness. Because if there's power... If there's no problem, if the power is flowing and yet the light's still not coming on, maybe it's an issue of discernment. Anyways, I leave that with you, friends. It was something that the Lord just gave me and says, you're on the right track, son. Keep on going. Friends, we're not naturally knights in shining armor. You know, like that silly commercial with the Bel Air Direct guy walking around. You know, that's not naturally us. It's an acquired thing. It's something that we come into possession, because what is the armor? But rather, the armor, first of all, is the righteousness of Christ. It is the glory, hallelujah, of Christ. In fact, it is Him, because 2 weeks ago I said that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the armor of light, and we need to put on Jesus Christ. And of course, it is the glory of Jesus. It is the righteousness of Him Himself that is the light of God. The Scriptures tell us about the Almighty God, if you could just keep moving there. And that would be that in the book of Psalms, here's what the Lord says. In Psalm 104, we sang it actually. Or we're going to sing it or something like that. We may have moved it. But Psalm 104 says, He, Jehovah, wraps Himself in light as with a garment. And if you think He, what is that light? But that is Christ. That is righteousness. That is His glory. So if He wraps Himself in light, guess what? We need to wrap ourselves in light. Get the glory clothes on, children. Friends, remember that we have no light of our own. We do not emanate light. Our light is darkness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. We need an imputation of Him to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of the armor? What is the purpose of any armor? But to protect. And so therefore, if it is the armor of light, what does it naturally speak of? That it is to protect us from the darkness. So as long as we're wearing the armor of light, we cannot be defeated by the darkness. The second thing that the armor of light is that it is fellowship. And this may be something that is not thought of. 1 John 1:7. If you want to turn there, I do think I have it here. But 1 John 1:7 says this. Take a little look at this and maybe align it up with your Bible that you have with you. It says this. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. Well, He's the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. So we've established the fact, the first point is that He is the light, His glory, His righteousness, and we need to get on our glory clothes. We need to get on the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, amen. We need to let His glory shine through us. But here is a manifestation of that light, that if we are in the light, if we're walking in the light, if the glory is shining, then what's going to happen? We are going to be in fellowship. Here's my concern, friends. If you isolate yourself from the authority or the fellowship of the church, you're going to have darkness in your life. You're going to think you're all right, maybe. But without the authority and without the fellowship of the church, you are not going to have the illumination that you need to discern the kind of things you need to discern to make right choices in your life. It is a manifestation of the armor of light. If you're in the armor of light, that means you're in the body of Christ. That means you're submitting to authority in the body of Christ. That means that you're in fellowship one with another. That means there's interaction with the body of Christ. And friends, the more that you're inactive with the body of Christ, the things that God's Spirit is doing, the light will shine. Hallelujah. Guess what? You'll be able to make good decisions. There are three steps, briefly, to putting on the armor of light. The first one is simply this. Wake up! We're talking about that. That's the first step. Wake up. And there's a clear urgency from Paul to the church of Jesus Christ to wake up. Have you ever heard that call come from a parent or a spouse or someone when you were young and time to get up? I remember Sister Eileen Armstrong, those that remember Sister Armstrong when she was part of this church, she would tell the story over and over again about the stovepipes at home. I lived in Morwood in a farm near Morwood, and she said that the stovepipe, of course, went from down the kitchen, went up through the hole, up and through there, the kid's bedroom. And she said every morning, she said, there was a rap on the stovepipes. She said, and we didn't dare let him rap twice. One rap of the stovepipes and everybody got up, dressed, and out into the barn to do their chores. You don't dare let him rap the stovepipe twice. Well, God Almighty has come. He says it's time to get up. The night of this world is almost gone, and the day of His coming is, whoo, glory to God, is coming soon. The light of the day of the Lord of His kingdom is about to shine upon us. If we stay asleep, my concern is this, friends, that if we stay asleep, we will be forever the children of the light. The night, not the light. But if we stay asleep, we will be forever children of the night. But if we are awakened by the Holy Spirit, then we can become the children of the day. We can fulfill our destiny. The world lulls us to sleep. The world messes with us. Consider mighty Samson and his fall in sin, his fall from power, his fall from greatness. He didn't get drunk. He didn't commit murder. He didn't steal. Samson fell because he succumbed to the natural and fell asleep. One small act put him into captivity. Notice that. One small act that is common to us all put him into captivity, put him into bondage. But thanks be to God, even though his darkness, and of course, even the physical, the natural, he was put into darkness because of they tore out his eyes. If you know the story. And so literally, spiritually, all those things come together. He was in darkness, but praise be to God, in his last moments he awoke. He was still blind, but he was awake and he could see. And God used him to destroy the enemy. Samson, who began in the spirit, fell into the flesh. And it had to take a hard prison sentence. It had to take persecution. It had to take humiliation to waken him again to the miraculous power of God. Friends, I am concerned that this great giant called the church in North America especially is so lulled to sleep by the things of this world. They gather and entertain themselves even in the churches with smooth-talking preachers. All kinds of things take place. That we're still asleep, and my concern is it will take some very hard times to awaken this giant. God will allow it because He desires to use His children in the light and in the day. In many cultures, tribulation has been that cold bucket of water. Have you ever had to get that done to you? recently? You know, to wake you up where you don't wake, and there's a prodding and there's a kicking and there's a alarm that goes off. I don't know what you have done to some of your kids. I have drugged them out by their feet onto the floor. I have rolled them off their bed. I have done a number of things to get them up when they refuse to heed the alarm, heed the call, heed the persistent yells. Then they come in and you rip them out of their beds. You're looking at me like I'm cruel. You do that, right? You've done that. Okay, well, maybe not. Okay, take that off the sermon from the internet. All right. Apparently not. But, you know, you do what you got to do, and sometimes it's that cold bucket of water. Have you never done that? Okay, all right. You know, that wakes them up, and I'm afraid that's what it may take the church in North America, to wake us up. I mean, collectively, we can be a pocket of awakened spirits, but the church, you know, I believe that the church will awaken, but it will pay a price for its sleep. The enemy is, while we have slept, has crept into our homes, our schools, our government, while we were sleeping. And it's not just the world that lulls us to sleep, but religion puts us to sleep, friends. Religion puts you to sleep. You know, there are churches that are only 50 minutes long, and by the end of the 50 minutes, half of the back row of the old fellas are, is it over yet? I hope that is not with you today. Religion puts you to sleep, but genuine revival wakes you up in the morning. Woo! I tell you what, it's refreshing. If the kind of praying and preaching that you're enduring puts you to sleep, there's something wrong with the praying and preaching, or there's something wrong in your spirit. Because that's what religion does. It puts you to sleep. Revival wakes you up. I was at an African revival meeting on Friday night. I came very tired. I left like that. 2 hours of worship. And then the preacher from Tanzania gets up and he preaches for 2.5 hours. Don't worry, I'm not taking this as a sample for me. I left actually at the altar time because I was going to be home by 11:30 by the time I got home from a 6 o'clock service, you know. So I slipped away at the during the altar call. I never had a chance to talk to the preachers or whatever else because I thought my wife's probably worried about me, you know. So I got out of there quick, but you know, it was alive. I believe the Lord wants to awaken His church. I have a quote right here behind me. Here's what Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, I myself believe that if the church will only obey the conditions set out by the Word of God, she can have a revival anytime she wants it. So if you say you want revival, I have to ask the question, do you really want revival? The problem of the church is the problem in the Garden of Gethsemane, sleep. And then he prays, "So arm of the Lord, O church of the living God, awake." The second point is not only awake, but to shake off. Lay aside, he says here, that after you get up, well, you got to take off your jammies, amen. It's time to get up, you know. You don't go out into the world the same way that you get out of your bed, amen. Maybe some of you do, some kids do, it seems like. But anyways, shake it off. It implies a willingness to change your clothing. Let us therefore cast off, the Scripture says, the works of darkness, like a rattlesnake that's got hold of you. Shake it off, as Paul did, into the fire. That's how the attachment of this world and the darkness should be. It's the part of getting going. You got to get dressed to get going. Verse 13, it says this in Romans chapter 13. Let us therefore walk properly. Sleepwalking through our Christian experience is not acceptable. Well, at least I'm out there. Well, we have this popularity with zombies. Everyone's crazy about zombies for some crazy reason. But anyways, you know what? You know, and I'm not going to get into that and use that as an illustration. Okay, PowerPoint, no. There's none of that. But you know, what is this about sleepwalking? I'm afraid that many pastors and leaders are like the psychologists of the day that say, don't try to wake them up. You could do psychological harm to them if you wake them up and they're sleepwalking. You could cause them to become confused and disoriented. You could actually, in counseling, they say that you could invoke a negative response to your as a counselor if you wake them up. In other words, because you wake them up, they, according to psychology, they will blame you for taking you out of their delusion, and there will be a breach of the counseling ability to bond with that person. All right, am I saying it enough? Do you understand what I'm saying? And the preachers are like that. They say, we can't wake them up, because if we wake them up, they're going to get mad at us. They're going to blame us for blowing their little bubble and their delusion. And then there's going to be a breach of our pay. I mean, a breach of our relationship with the church. What if that sleeping person is walking out onto a highway, off a cliff, toward a crocodile-infested pond? Do we still say, well, you know what, it caused them any emotional harm? We better let them sleep. Let sleeping dogs lie. Ephesians 5 and 8 says this, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. I remind, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, the time of our salvation is near. Then we first believe the end of this world is coming, and the King cometh for a prepared bride. That is what we look forward to. But before he comes, he wants to use the church. We'll always be working for him. All right? Employment guaranteed in the kingdom. But he wants to use you now. The last point is put on. Well, I already talked to you last or 2 weeks ago about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I already talked to you about what the armor is. But friends, if you are awakened by the Spirit and sanctified by the Spirit, and that's a fancy word, sanctified, it means to be set apart. And we would also use it and talk about casting off the works of darkness as a sanctifying experience. So if the Spirit has awakened you, the prophetic word, or the other word mentioned here today, was about the prodigal son. What about that prodigal son? It says when he was eating with the pigs, it says, and he came to his senses. He woke up. He wasn't asleep, but he was asleep. When he came to his senses, when the Spirit of God comes to the church and gives us an awakening moment, we can have some choices. We can roll over and hit the snooze button. How many times can you get away with that? How many times can the church in North America get away with that? How many times can you personally get away with that before it's too late and you miss your appointments? What is your purpose? What is this armor of light that you have? It is to defend you against the darkness. So why don't you get up, get dressed, shake off the stuff, and get out there and serve? One more. This woke me up. You know that there are former Canadian Armed Forces personnel who are signing up to go overseas. It was in the news, perhaps you read it in the paper. One of them, I heard a quote from him, and then I kept digging in that, and it's because it said initially, he says he didn't want his name to be mentioned because of his family connections to politics. Well, that makes you just want to dig that much more, you know. And so find out, oh, it's Dylan Hillier. Haven't known him since he was a teenager. He's in his 20s now. Redneck Randy, MPP for Lanark. Redneck Randy always wore red suspenders, and he's quite a neat member of provincial legislature. So it's his son. Here's what he said, and I quote this from a CBC interview. Here's a man I'm not advocating violence, okay, people. I want you to know this. I'm not advocating you sign up and go over and fight with the Kurdish militia. All right, but here, listen to this prophetically. Hear the church speaking here. Can you do that? He says this. They ask him, "Why are you going over? Why are you signing up? Why are you going over to fight this situation?" He says, "I got put on this earth to do one thing. I got this fire in me. I still want to soldier on. I was trained to be a soldier. I served as a soldier. How can I? I just can't sit around when it is soldiers that they need." Apply that prophetically. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up, friends, because there is a battle going on. There is darkness going on all around. There is a situation going on not very far from you. It may be in your own home where there is darkness that has creeped in. And you didn't realize it was that dark, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God is waking you up. And you're looking at your life, you're looking at your schedule, you're looking at the way you do things, you're looking at the situation at work, you're looking at some things in a different way. And you're saying, "I didn't realize it was this dark. I've got to get my armor on. I was put on this earth for a purpose. I was put on this earth as a soldier of the Lord. I was put on this earth as a soldier of the armor of light. I was put on this place. There is fire in me now." I remember Monica on the bus ride on the way down to Cornwall yesterday. She said, "I want to fight." She wasn't talking to me. Talking about, "I want to get down in prayer." She says, "There's fight in me." Well, let it out, sister. Is there fight in you today? Are you being awakened by the Spirit of God? I believe that God has designed this service today to be an awakening moment. You get to choose now whether you're going to hit the snooze button or whether you're going to respond. Praise team, come. Breathe on me. Breath of God, breathe on me. You now have an opportunity to put on the armor of light, to go out of this church, either sleepwalk your way home or go out naked. And that wouldn't look good. It wouldn't look good. Or to go out with your armor of light. Those are the options. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Oh. Father of God, you have been doing something special in this church house today. Lord, it is your desire to awake those that sleep us. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Awake unto righteousness." Paul said this. Father God, we don't go out of this place tired and worn out, but rather we go up awakened. Father God, I pray for each one that is here in this assembly today and those that would hear this message. Right now, Lord, I pray not only would they be awakened by the Spirit, but also, Lord God, that the Spirit would enable them to do something about it. That now that they're awake, Lord, and now that they see what's going on, and now they see the condition of this world, and now they see the condition of their home, and now that they see the condition of their society, and they see the condition around them, Lord God, that Father God, they might see a sanctifying power come into them, Lord, to shake off the works of darkness, and then to put on the armor of light. Oh, Lord, we'd love it if you would just dress us, drag us out of our beds, rip the clothes off, the jammies off of us, Lord, and clothe us with the armor of light and then stick us out there in the public. But Father God, we know that it's up to us to respond to your Spirit's work. I'm just wondering this morning, just as the Spirit of God is working amongst you, that as you close in prayer right now with your head bowed, would you say and respond to one of these things? Perhaps the Spirit of God is saying, "Well, I'm feeling I feel that there's something awakened in me this morning. May not have been the preacher, may have been the music, may have been the prophetic words, but something in me has awakened. Or maybe you'll say, you know, I'm just sensing I need that sanctification touch. I'm awake now, but there's some stuff that I'm seeing now that I need to get set free from. And that's what you're dealing with. Or perhaps you're saying today that I need that armor of light before I leave this place. If any of that relates to you in prayer, would you just lift your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am and I have need right now, Lord. Here I am and I have need right now, Lord. Father God, you do your perfect work among us, oh God. Let's stand, shall we? I'm wondering this morning if the Spirit of God is speaking to you in any way, and you may have raised your hand or not. Pastor Dan is coming up here to pray for folks. I'm not necessarily asking you to kneel or whatever else, but you know, you just want to stand. Just come here and stand. If there's something, Spirit of God is doing something in you this morning, just come here and stand. That's scary. Maybe it's standing with me that's scary. Dan, quickly. Amen. Now that's not as scary now. See? And just as we sing this song, and I bless you to depart in peace, okay? God bless you. The hour has come. God bless you. You can depart in peace. You can kneel, you can stand, whatever you feel led to do. But, you know, I just want us to awaken. Someone will pray with you. Someone will stand. Take two steps forward, folks, just so other folks can come up. And just let's wake up. All right. God bless you. If you have to go, you know, then you're free to go today. The Lord bless and keep you and encourage you. If you're an elder today, if you're in leadership, you can pray for other people. Just be feel led of the Spirit of God to do that today. All right. God bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. Let's let the Spirit of God touch all of that in you. Stay with me. Amen. Thank you.
Breathe on me.
Oh, breath of God.
Breath of God. Breathe on me.
Oh, breathe on me. Breath of God.
Breath of God. Breathe on me.
Oh,
breathe
on me. Oh, let the breath of God.
Breathe on me. Breathe on me.
Oh, breath of God.
Breath of God. To life, for you alone.
alive.
Oh, 'cause I come alive. I'm alive when you breathe on me. Oh, 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 I come alive. I'm alive when you breathe on me.
Awake.
Awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones from death to life for you alone. Awake my soul.
Oh, awake,
awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones from death to life. For you alone, awake my soul.
Oh, breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me.
Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me.
Breathe on me. Breath of God, breathe on me.
Breathe on me. Breath of God, breathe on me.
Thank you. Take this.